Mass Resistance. Local news and views you won't hear anywhere else. Mass Resistance. Your opinion counts with Brian Kamenker. Mass Resistance. Get involved. Become a part of the solution. Mass Resistance. Boston's Conservative Talk. 1150 WTTT.
Hello, everyone. This is Brian Kamenker, and you are listening to Radio Free Massachusetts, Mass Resistance Radio, here on WTTT 1150 AM on your dial. This show is heard every Saturday afternoon from 3 till 4 p.m. Every Sunday evening, it's repeated from 7 till 8 p.m. And sometimes Saturday afternoon, we put it up on the web, and you can hear it anytime that whole week. In fact, anytime forever, pretty much. Go to massresistance.org, our website. You can download it. You can hear it. Go to our blog, massresistance.net. And I'm not here with Amy this time. Amy's taking a couple of days off. She will be back next week. So I'm running the boat myself this week. We do have a couple of great guests. We're going to be talking about an unbelievable immigration bill before the Massachusetts legislature. I mean, I'm telling you, they never cease to surprise you. I mean, is it worse than California? Who knows? Probably. But it's you're not going to believe this. We're going to be talking about to Reverend Michael Carl of the Greenwood Institute about a great conference that's coming up. What else is going on? This past week we had on our website some clips of a video called It's Elementary. It's Elementary was a gay activist video that was actually published 10 years ago in 1996 by some homosexual activists in California. It is extremely slick. It's well done, and what it shows is kids in, I guess, the first and third grade being basically indoctrinated by homosexuality in two schools, a school in Cambridge and a private school in Cambridge and a public school in New York City. Now, when this video has been shown in schools everywhere. I mean, it was shown at my own child's school, his high school, just a few months ago. It was shown, it's been shown everywhere. It's Elementary is a classic, and we'd never really paid much attention to it. We know it was there. It's used as a training video at GLSEN conferences for teachers. It's all over the place. And when we listened to it and posted some of the, just a few little clips, like a 6 and a 5 minute clip, it is unbelievable, ladies and gentlemen, to watch the way teachers go after the youngest of kids and use these very sophisticated techniques to really twist their minds. And we posted these videos, and the reaction that we've gotten from not only the United States, but around the world has been unbelievable. Other websites have reposted them, WorldNet Daily and some others. And you can go to massresistance.org and see these, but the enormous amount of feedback that we've gotten of people who say, I'm physically sick and I never knew this was happening is really unbelievable to see really what goes on in some of these public schools. And the guy that does our email has told us that we've gotten like more emails than he's ever been seen before. A lot of it from gay activists who are angry at us, naturally. So, there are bills in the legislature to make it worse. We're going to be talking in one of our segments about a public hearing that was this week on bullying bills, and you want to hear about that. This is a real lesson on how the Massachusetts legislature works. I think we're going to be talking about that in our third segment. Other stuff that's going on, Larry Serignano, Catholic activist, had his hearing this past week. It's been postponed until June 8th, I believe. This is very important, ladies and gentlemen. He's a Catholic activist. He's being charged with assault and battery, a civil rights violation, and a possible hate crime for doing nothing. This was a complete setup by gay activists at a marriage rally. It is really frightening. We've got pictures and videos on this, and they're actually charging this this guy with crimes that we have like six eyewitnesses who were standing with him feet saying that he had basically nothing, pretty much nothing to do with. You're going to see, if you go to our website, you'll see some videos on that. Some more on the David Parker thing. David Parker's appeal is moving forward. They're having a, I guess, a mandatory mediation session, which is the first step toward an appeal. That's moving along. What else has been going on? All kinds of stuff. The state house is really starting to rock and roll, let me tell you. Another thing, ladies and gentlemen, this coming weekend, next weekend, is the Gay Pride, the Gay Youth Pride Parade, and the Gay Youth Pride events. And this is some of the most really degrading kinds of things that we see all year of homosexual activists involved with kids. This year they have more money than ever to do things. They're having their transgender prom in Boston City Hall. And one of the speakers, their main speaker, is the governor of the state. Deval Patrick is going to speak at noon on Saturday at this hideous event where homosexual activists bring kids from around the Commonwealth and parade around with them. And some of the pictures that we've shown from past years are horrible. The pictures from this were the reason, by the way, that Mitt Romney started to completely disband the program until the gays, I guess, threatened him. But the fact that the governor of the state would speak at something like this, and I guess he's giving an award out to one of them, is, you know, you go to our Massachusetts website early this coming week because people need to get involved. This is bizarre and outrageous. But anyway, we've got a lot to go, so let's get the train rolling, and we've got a lot to cover. So this is Brian Kammacher, WTTT 1150 AM. We'll be right back. And we're back. This is Brian Kammacher, Mass Resistance Radio, here on WTTT 1150 AM. This session of the Massachusetts legislature probably has some of the worst pieces of legislation that I've ever seen, and we've had some very bad years. But one of the bills that stands out now and is probably going to be having a public hearing soon involves House Bill number 133, and we were looking at it, and an act ensuring equal access to all services for all residents of the Commonwealth. Well, that's an innocuous enough title. And then you look at the list of sponsors. Byron Rushing, Carl Shortino, Kay Conn, Alice Wolf, and, you know, the left of the left, and there's more. And you look at this bill, and what it really is, it says that the first line, any program, project, or activity for the provision of services, financial aid, or other benefits to individuals, on and on and on. What it says is it basically requires the Commonwealth to give all services to illegal immigrants that legal residents have, everything. Whatever legal financial benefits or anything else. I mean, last year we talked about tuition in colleges. This gives the whole package of anything that the Commonwealth has to illegal immigrants, and I don't think a lot of people understand that this thing could be pushed through. We have on the show a great activist, Jim Rizzoli, who's been involved with the illegal alien issue in Massachusetts for quite a while. Jim, thanks for coming on.
Well, you're welcome.
Tell us about this this bill, and you know just what's going on here.
Well, I didn't know about the bill until Amy in your program told me about it. She actually emailed me it. But you know, as I read through the bill, it's exactly like you say. I mean, this is an open-ended policy to say to the illegal aliens in Massachusetts that you can apply for anything you want and you're going to get it, and there's no questions asked, and we cannot, we're not going to deal with your immigration status. We're not going to deal with any of those factors. But if you want to get on a program, we have the program for you.
Yeah, and driver's licenses, you name it.
Yeah.
You know, a welfare, you know, and Massachusetts is full of that kind of stuff.
Right.
This is pretty, I mean, there are some cutting-edge stuff going on in the United States regarding this, but this is probably the leading edge.
Right. Well, what we're seeing is we're seeing a slow wearing away of the Constitution, and this is one part of it, because obviously if you give rights and all these benefits to illegal aliens, then what you're saying to the Americans is that what, you know, people lived and died for based on the Constitution and all these things are not relevant, and you don't even have to be part of this country anymore to reap the benefits of what this country has to offer. It's absolutely incredible to see how, you know, slowly, slowly, slowly these things are just creeping in. And, you know, what happens is they get passed, and the majority of the people really aren't aware of what's going on, okay? So now they get passed, and then it's a law.
Yeah.
And now people say, what happened, after it's too late? They don't really know. They've just been sideswiped in the head by the politicians.
Right. Well, we're going to be on top of this. I understand the Judiciary Committee is going to be hearing this at some point, and they probably thought that it could maybe slip through without anybody noticing.
Yes.
But I think people are going to notice.
Well, I think so too. I mean, again, if you read this right through, it's hard to believe that someone could even present this without someone noticing it. But like you said, they're trying to do this in a sly way. But believe me, things are going to happen, I'm sure.
Wow. So what is, you're in Eastern, with the Framingham area.
Yes.
What are things like there in the?
Well, basically, what's happened in Framingham is we have probably the largest contingent of illegal aliens around, particularly dealing with the Brazilians. But again, any places, every place is different, because you know they could be Mexicans, it could be any group. But Framingham has the Brazilians, and what basically they've done is they've kind of worked their way into the town over a period of years. They're not in the political. They don't have the political strength that they could have, because the majority of them don't want to be brought out in the open. So we're kind of thankful for that. But the element is here. What's happening in Framingham is we have a lot of them dealing, you know, getting into the housing, overcrowding of the houses. Even though Framingham, they don't want to recognize it as overcrowding. They like to call it illegal lodging houses, which is a little doublespeak here. But there's plenty of people that are breaking the law by going into these homes and filling them up with 10 or 20 people, and the only way you can deal with it is if someone complains. But you can see the ramifications of it all just by looking out your window and going by the houses to see all the cars, and you see all the garbage, and you see, you know, all the things relating to it, not to mention the, you know, the traffic and all those type of things. Now Framingham is interesting, mm-hmm. because Framingham, just to show you how severe the problem is, we have a school system here. There's 8,000 children in the school system. All right, out of those 8,000, over 2,000 are bilingual, which means that the majority of them are probably children of illegal aliens. Now, I come to figure it out that if you add it all up, what it's costing to teach the kids the bilingual education here, it's probably costing excess of $26 million a year just to educate
and,
the children.
I mean, even just, not even the bilingual, but everything else. And you know, in general, these people don't pay taxes. There's
right.
a lot of under-the-table stuff. And,
right.
you know, a lot of people, you know, might say, well, you know, why are you picking on immigrants? One of the things about illegal aliens that's different than regular immigrants that I've noticed just on and on and on, different from my grandfather who came over from Europe, is that when they come here, they don't really intend to stay here.
Right.
It's in their minds, it's temporary. They're constantly sending money back. This is a way for them to get out of debt or do something, but they don't see themselves as permanent citizens of America. They
right.
see themselves as just coming here to work and send money back.
Right.
And that attitude is so different. They don't have any intention of learning English in general.
Well, if they do, we have to pay for it.
Right.
So.
And they don't have any intention of blending in with America.
Right.
And you know, this compounds the problem. Plus the fact is, as you said, who knows who a lot of these people are? They're often criminals. They're often who knows who they are? They're just completely outside of the system.
Well, there's no background checks on any of these people. And what's happening in Framingham, we had 3 murders last year. And guess what? Every one of those murders had to do with illegal aliens.
Wow.
I mean, and that's just those 3. I mean, not to mention all the other things that are happening with them. You know, just the petty crimes. You know, the beating up people are doing this, or beating up their wives, or whatever they're doing in these avenues too. And again, we have a real big problem with the illegals driving here without licenses.
Oh yeah, I remember not too long ago. I guess my wife and daughter were in a car, and there was an illegal alien crashed into them. Luckily, nobody was hurt, but they just drove, they begged that they could drive away.
Right. Sometimes they pay you off too. They'll give you $100 and just say, don't call the cops.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen them do it.
And if you do call the cops, what do they do?
Right, the police basically hands are tied because there's so many of them that are going to court, or supposedly supposed to go to court, that they can't even keep up with it. So they don't even want to deal with the paperwork anymore. So what happens when an illegal alien hits you? Well, they let them go. Okay.
Right.
Whereas if it was 2 citizens, they would have to exchange papers, and then they would have to go to court and all this stuff too. But the illegals, if they do go to court, okay, if they show up in court, they only get a slap on the wrist, $100 fine, and they drive away.
Wow. And this would be a revolutionary act. This
oh,
left.
Absolutely, yes.
I mean, if people think their taxes are higher now,
this is an open-ended invitation to take the money and run here. It's a no-brainer for them to want to come here even more. In fact, what this is going to do is probably going to open up the doors as a sanctuary type of state, okay, because they're going to be able to come here and know that nothing's going to happen to them and that they can benefit, immensely from all the services.
Wow. Well, we got to stay on top of this, no question about it. Jim, I want to thank you for coming on.
Oh, you're very welcome.
And we're going to put this up on the website, massresistance.org, and keep up all your good work. You guys have done a lot of video for us and for other people, and you're doing wonder. You and your brother are just the best.
Well, we want to make all these issues known to people. Your issue is important to us, too. And, again, if they're not known, people aren't really going to know what to do. So it's important.
Absolutely. All right. Thanks a lot, Jim Rizzoli. Immigration activist. Thanks very much. This is Brian Kammacher, WTTT 1150 AM. We'll be right back. And we're back. Brian Kammacher, Mass Resistance Radio, here on WTTT 1150 AM. And we're moving on to more State House stuff here. I'm running the ship by myself. Amy's taking a week off. She'll be back next week. One of the things, besides the thing we just talked about on immigration, a slew of bills that we noticed on bullying in the schools. There's no less than 7 bills, before the Massachusetts legislature on the subject of bullying in schools. And, you're asking yourself, why is the, legislature getting involved with this? And then we sort of see that this is happening around the state. There are 30 states, including Maryland, Michigan, and so many others, that suddenly have these bullying bills in their legislatures. Who put them in? Is there a national bullying problem? And then, you do a little research and you find that a few years ago, GLSEN, this national gay organization, started this campaign, and they announced that we're going to use bullying as basically their new front for pushing their program and other programs into the public schools. They weren't too, weren't too secretive about it. And they've gotten involved with several other groups. And believe me, it is a, it's a very clever way to get in, because what you do is you talk about some of the most horrendous things that could happen. And, pretty soon you have all of these Republicans, practically the whole Republican, legislative, reps and senators are among others are sponsoring these bullying bills, anti-bullying bills. And, it's been a PR campaign, ladies and gentlemen, that you'll hardly ever see, but what it really is, it's about funneling money to, some of these, far-left groups to go into the public school. And, you know, as they had a public hearing this past Tuesday, and believe me, it was something. I mean, you really had to be there to watch things in action. First of all, a week before, the Boston Globe had a big editorial on it, you know, talking about the need for all of this stuff. Then the day of the hearing, the Boston Globe had practically half a page of letters supporting this. It just suddenly got there. And then you get into this hearing, and all of the gay groups are there. I mean, there's, you know, the people from GLSEN. There's the people from the transgender lobby. I mean, they had a man dressed as a woman testifying. The gay newspaper was there. PFLAG, parents and I think PFLAG, parents and friends of gays and lesbians, or lesbians and gays, were there. This is a radical group that has had a workshop on polygamy and group sex and sadomasochism. They were there. The teachers' union. They had these bracelets on, you know, stop bullying. They brought in kids from schools to talk about their horrible, horrible bullying stories. I mean, this was a show that, you know, that you just had to see to believe. All of the special interest groups that could get money on this. And again, you know, a guy from Newton, where I live, talked about these horrible, horrible things that have happened to his kids. And, you know, ladies and gentlemen, it was sort of interesting because after hearing that, I was able to testify myself. And, you know, it is such a sham. I've lived in Newton. I've had kids in the schools for the past 15 years. And as I told the committee, every bullying program known to man in 15 years has been through Newton. They spend probably more money on anti-bullying than any place in the state, maybe the country, hundreds of thousands of dollars. Innumerable hours they have the bullying, the peer mediation, the anti-racism, every flavor of it, every PhD egghead in Massachusetts has probably been in the Newton schools at one time. And guess what? None of it works. The bullying stories out of Newton are probably worse than anywhere else because these are all politically motivated programs. They have a political agenda, a monetary agenda, and they usually go against human nature. Human nature being that by stressing people's differences, it only causes more problems. And by stressing their sameness, we're all the same, it actually solves them. Every one of these talks about, well, I'm gay, or, you know, blacks versus whites, or some kind of flavor of a political agenda that exacerbates it worse. And, you know, I've seen, you know, how it gets, you know, it gets worse. And what this really is a way for special interests to funnel money. And the reason that they're doing it through the legislature rather than through local schools, I mean, why would Dorchester need the same bullying legislation that, say, Wakefield would, or Athol, or something like that? It's because that's the most direct way for the money. The money goes through the legislature, and they can't depend on individual school districts to fund it the way they want. They can in Newton, but not in other towns. It's a familiar familiar pattern that you see, where, number one, they come up with a serious problem that somehow people weren't aware of, and they use, these hearsay evidence of how bad it is. They use phony statistics like the Youth Risk Behavior Survey, which is as phony as a $3 bill. Then they claim, well, this is a bad problem, and here's our solution. And they come up with a solution that involves spending money for special interest groups and pushing programs in the school. And that, number three, they say, if you don't agree with our solution, then you obviously want bullying to continue, or you want student safety to be down, or something like that. It's very effective unless people like us and like you and me are willing to go in and testify. And, you know, it was really funny. I got to tell you, what the committee did, the education committee, is as pro-left wing as you could ask for. They purposefully made the people who were against the bill wait till the end. They called up all of the gay activists, all of the, you know, the PhDs. Everybody, interesting, they had a couple of superintendents who, when pressed, admitted that they didn't have any statistics whether this stuff worked or not. That was sort of interesting. And then they made us wait until the very end of the afternoon, pretty much, to talk. And, you know, but we stuck it out, and we did talk. And I think it made an effect. In Thursday morning's Boston Herald, interestingly, they had an editorial in the Herald, which we'll post, on the fact that, you know, maybe schools shouldn't be getting involved in the bullying business. And maybe, you know, maybe it's up to parents. Maybe it's just possible, ladies and gentlemen, the Herald editorial said, that you can't legislate good behavior with kids no matter how hard you try. But I'm telling you, you know, it's the way these groups are able to dupe our legislators is just phenomenal. You know, you talk to these guys and they go, oh, there's some, you know, a mother called me and her child is being bullied at school. We've got to have this stuff. And, you know, they never think, well, does this really work? Who's behind this? You know, who, you know, is this story even true? You know, a lot of these stories, I mean, they had one gay activist testify about horrendous things that happened to him that were, did they really happen? I mean, it was the kinds of things that he claimed happened to him, this sort of torture in the school, you'd think somebody would have been arrested for. It was a real show, ladies and gentlemen. And what it would end up being is, number one, probably hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of taxpayer dollars going to special interest groups to push their programs more in the school, the transgender lobby, the homosexual lobby, the, you know, you name it lobby. They were all there. They had a mental health lobby. They had all of this stuff. And as I said, nobody there was able to say, yes, these programs work. The best they could say were what these two superintendents said was, well, we have anecdotal evidence that it's helping. That was it. And, you know, ladies and gentlemen, this is why you need to be vigilant, because your state legislature is being bought off by the special interest groups day after day, and it is coming after you and your kids. So there's more bills. It's going to be a long session, a long year. There's more education committee hearings. But it's really sad to see what's going on in that legislature. And unless you get involved and fight, this is what's going to continue to happen. We were posting all of this on the Mass Resistance website. You can see pictures. You can see background information. You need to get involved. So that's it. Let's move on. We're going to talk about a conference coming up. This is Brian Kammacher, WTTT 1150 AM. We'll be right back. And we're back. This is Brian Kammacher, Radio Free Massachusetts, Mass Resistance Radio here on WTTT 1150 AM. And this is springtime, finally. And one of the things that often happens at this time of the year, I guess it happens all the year, are some really good conferences going on. I remember last spring there was some good conferences to get your blood rolling for the year in Washington, D.C. that we went to. There's one coming up called Give Me Liberty, A Church's Role in Defending Freedom, put on by the Greenwood Institute for Religious Scholars. And it's being run by probably one of my favorite pastors, Reverend Michael Carl. If I was a Christian, I'd go to his church because I like this guy. And we have him on. Reverend Carl, thanks for being on the show.
I'm glad to be here, Brian.
Tell us about the upcoming conference. This is open to the public?
Yeah, absolutely. The conference, we're calling it Give Me Liberty. It's
okay.
The church's role in defending freedom. And the conference is open to the public. As a matter of fact, we welcome anyone who would like to come who is concerned, and probably justifiably so, about the potential for further erosion of our religious liberties. We're going to have some leading constitutional scholars, one of them being a gentleman by the name of John Eidsmo, who wrote the book Christianity and the Constitution, and he's synthesizing the religious freedom basis for the constitutional liberties we have, where, you know, he goes all the way back to, I believe, the things that Don Feder wrote about in a recent column. He said that, and as a matter of fact, Jeff Jacoby said one of the same things yesterday in his column in the Boston Globe, that Western civilization traces its roots essentially back to Mount Sinai, where God is the initiator of freedom. Freedom is God's concept, and John Eidsmo talks about that in his book.
Right.
And it's one of the key, you know, elements in all of the founding documents you'll find in American history.
Right.
You know, now, as of today or sometime next week, you know, I understand the Jamestown colony celebrates its 400th anniversary from 1607 to 2007, and the Jamestown Charter also mentioned that the purpose of the Jamestown colony was for the furtherance of the kingdom of God. You know, so that even though it was a crown colony, and it was colonized by people who might have been, you know, coming for less than stellar reasons potentially, one of the tenets of that colony's founding was for religious freedom.
Oh, yeah, so, and every state constitution, as we all know, even today, says that in one way or another that the laws of the state must basically follow God's laws.
Right.
Even Massachusetts.
Well, even in Massachusetts, although you'd never be able to tell it based on what's taking place.
Right.
But so another one of the folks who's coming is, I know another one of your favorite pastors is Tristan Emmanuel.
Oh, yeah.
He's
leader
been on
our
of the
show.
ECP in Canada. I believe we can honestly say without too much exaggeration that Reverend Emmanuel is one of the leading defenders of religious liberty in Canada.
No question about it.
And he's going to talk about what's going on in Canada and how it relates to what's going on in the United States. You know, and I know we've talked about this on your program before.
Right.
But if you go back to the summer of 2003, that fateful, disastrous summer, you know, where religious liberty and morality is concerned, you look at the Lawrence versus Texas U.S. Supreme Court decision and how that came about. And then around that same time, the Supreme Courts in both Ontario, the province of Ontario, and the province of Quebec ruled that homosexual marriage is legal. So those Supreme Courts waited till they saw Lawrence versus Texas, made the ruling legalizing homosexual marriage after the United States Supreme Court decided that states could no longer have laws regarding things like sodomy. And then Margaret Marshall had been hearing the oral arguments in Goodrich versus the State Board of Health. Now, with Lawrence versus Texas, plus the two court decisions from the Supreme Courts of the provinces of Ontario and Quebec, Margaret Marshall had the, quote, legal precedent she needed to rule that Goodrich versus the State Board of Health, that the laws preventing
right.
homosexuals and lesbians from getting marriage licenses here were indeed unconstitutional.
So Tristan's going to talk about this in Canada. Let's talk a little bit about when and where the conference is. I understand it's May 18th and 19th, Friday the 18th, Saturday the 19th.
Right.
I guess that's, 2 weeks?
It's about 2 weeks from today, or 2 weeks from this, 2 weeks from tomorrow, rather.
Yeah, right.
And Tristan is going to be here on Saturday morning.
Right.
You know, John Eidsmo will be on Friday afternoon, and Garrett Lear, the Patriot pastor from New Hampshire, is going to be doing the evening session on Friday evening. And then I don't know if you've met him or not, but a gentleman by the name of Tom Haskins, who's written a book called In the Words of Our Founding Fathers, where he chronicles in great detail.
Oh, yeah, I know Tom very well. He's been on the show, I believe.
Right, awesome. Well, he's going to talk about the faith, the religious faith of our founding fathers, and that's going to be the early Saturday afternoon session right before the end of the conference. So, you know, we've got high-powered speakers who can address almost every aspect of the issue of religious liberty in our country from either a church point of view, the political point of view, but all of the while exalting the fact that religious freedom is a treasured freedom that every American needs to be concerned about, whether you are an Orthodox Jew, whether you are a fundamentalist evangelical Christian, or whether you are whatever you may be. this conference is important because if any one group or any one segment of the population's religious freedom and their right to be able to believe what they want and to practice that belief how they see fit according to their conscience is infringed upon, it's going to affect every other group.
Right.
So Christians cannot sit back and say, well, that court decision was only about, you know, the Baha'is or whatever.
Right. Well, now, where is this being where is this located?
It's going to be at the Greenwood Union Church, because the Greenwood Institute is one of the ministries of the church. So it's going to be at Greenwood Union Church.
Okay, where's that?
And it's the corner of Oak and Main Streets in Wakefield. The official address is 4 Oak Street, but the church faces the corner right there at Oak and Main in Wakefield, Massachusetts.
Wakefield.
And if you would like to get registration materials or read more about the conference, you can go to the Greenwood Institute's website, and that is greenwoodscholars.com.
Okay,
and there's
there's
a button there to be able to get to the PDF file for the registration forms and the schedule of the conference, and it can be easily printed out. And I believe the fees are extremely reasonable, you know, considering that we've got, you know, some high-powered talent coming to talk to everyone about the vital necessity of religious liberties. The fee is only $70 for
that,
both.
That includes meals, right?
That includes both days, all sessions, both days, plus a catered lunch on Friday and Saturday.
Okay.
And so that's $70. And if you want to only come on Friday, I believe Friday only is $50, and that includes the lunch. Students are half price.
Okay.
So students can get this for, you know, $45 or $50 for both days and have lunch included in the one day only on Friday. You know, and I would encourage civics teachers, you know, social studies teachers in the area's Christian schools to consider bringing their classes on, make it a field trip on a Friday.
Okay.
Because it would be absolutely essential,
right,
you know, for the things that the kids will learn about their religious liberties and how precious it is.
Right. So you're going to not only have these speeches, but you have workshop sessions.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, other, you know, booths and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, there will be a table there for each of the speakers to sell their books. And we'll have workshop sessions in the classroom areas downstairs. And I believe someone we all know pretty well is going to be there as one of the workshop presenters.
Yeah, we're going to be there.
Yep, that's you, Brian.
Yep.
And a wonderful pair of, you know, Christian women in the area. One of them's Adrian Lehman, and another one I believe is Karen Martin. And they're going to be there doing a workshop talking about how homeschooling now is a vital element in the defense of our religious freedoms.
Okay.
You know, because if you look at the public school curriculum, and I know you're really familiar with this, Brian.
Unfortunately, I am.
Yeah, unfortunately, homeschooling is now probably one of the best, most foolproof, fail-safe ways of instilling our Christian or Judeo-Christian principles in our kids and helping them to know that there is an absolute moral standard that we can rely on. You know, our schools are now trashing faith in every way possible. And I know that sounds really harsh, and it's very politically incorrect of me to say that.
Oh, no, it's absolutely true.
But you look at what's going on in the schools, you know, and one good book to read in this regard is David Limbaugh's book called Persecution, I believe.
Right.
And it's how the schools all across America, you know, if a kid brings a Bible onto a schoolroom, onto a school grounds, he risks being expelled from school. And in Alabama, I don't know if they still have them, but a federal judge there in Alabama ruled that there would be a prayer monitor in the public schools. And if this monitor caught any kid praying on the school grounds in any public school in Alabama where he was assigned, the kid would be subject to immediate expulsion from school.
Oh, man. Well, that's coming here. Well, and Tristan Emmanuel can talk about that in Canada. This sounds like a really great great event. So it's the Greenwood Union Church in Wakefield.
Yes.
The Greenwood Institute. And you can. It's on Friday, May 18th. That's 2 weeks from now. All day Friday, 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. Saturday
9 a.m. to 9 p.m.
Oh, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Okay.
8 a.m. is the registration time. If you haven't registered for the conference and you still want to come, you know, come at 8 o'clock and we can still get you registered. And 9 p.m. is the dismissal time for the last, after the last workshop.
Okay, great. And Saturday till 2:30 p.m.?
Yeah, till about 2:30, 9 to 2:30. And, you know, as I was saying earlier, you know, Tristan Emmanuel is going to come talk about all of those things I was talking about at length.
Yep.
And how what's going on in Canada does affect the United States. And
okay, so people need to go to greenwoodscholars.com.
www.greenwoodscholars.com. That's
great.
The Greenwood Institute website.
All right.
Greenwood Institute function, and your
Reverend Carl, thank you very much.
To come.
It's wonderful having you on. We'll look forward to this.
All right.
God bless you. Take
Same
care.
To you, Brian.
Bye-bye. And we're back for our final segment, Brian Kamenker, Mass Resistance Radio. Boy, there's a lot going on. And one of the things we try to do is update our Mass Resistance website, massresistance.org, every day with the latest of what's going on. We're putting up, for instance, some of the things that kids got at the Day of Silence. The Day of Silence was this pro-homosexual event throughout the state in public schools. And some of the stuff that kids got, it's horrible. We're going to be putting some of that up. We've got, you know, videos. We've got information and things you can do. You know, ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that really makes an effect is people taking action, people doing something, people getting involved in you know, with the legislature and other things. You know, there was a woman who called me yesterday who had sent emails out on the bullying bills that we talked about. And, you know, she got a call from a state rep saying, why are you saying this? And she explained to him and she set up a meeting. This is what's going on. And a lot of ladies and gentlemen, I cannot explain it enough. If you don't get involved and Mass Resistance is trying to give you a vehicle to do that, the special interests are going to eat you alive. And that's the way the game is played. And a democracy can only last as long as the people keep it. And Thomas Jefferson on down have always said it. So, you know, this is something you really need to need to remember. You know, you can't just sit back because all your money will be spent by the special interests and by everybody else, as we've been seeing all throughout the show and our previous shows. So that having been said, speaking of special interests, we don't get money from special interests. We don't get it from corporations. We certainly don't get it from the government. Maybe we ought to start lobbying for it. You can help keep this information flow going by donating to Mass Resistance. You can send a check to Mass Resistance, P.O. Box 1612, Waltham 02454. That's P.O. Box 1612, Waltham, Massachusetts 02454. Or you can go to the website, massresistance.org, and hit the donate button and donate by check. Contact us, get on our email list. We send out emails, once or twice a week. Great way to see what's going on. Visit the website every day. That's it. Get involved. That's what this program is about, is getting involved. All right. We're going to be back next week. Hopefully with Amy will be back in another session. So until then, this is Brian Kamenker. Talk to you then.